Welcome to Carrie Elle's Heartlink Show. And I'm Carrie Elle Quinley. I'm the hostess. And I ask that you allow the sacred love to flow through you now. And just take a deep breath and relax. And the blessing for the day comes from the Gayatri Prayer. Let us focus on that effulgent light from which the whole universe is projected. May this inner sun enlighten our minds, and may we awaken as that light. Well, I'm so excited about today's show. I have Dr. Christopher Holmes here. He'll be my guest in a moment, but for now, I want to first just introduce myself a little bit and tell you what I do. I am a transpersonal counselor, a hypnotherapist, and a past life regressionist. And I recommend that you go to my website to find out more information. That's www.heartlinkinstitute.com. Heartlinkinstitute.com. And we have a number of events coming up. I'll briefly mention this Saturday, I have a weight reduction workshop the whole day. So if you're interested, let me know. I also want to introduce my special project that I've been working on, a couple actually. I've now put the crop circle cards into an electronic color edition. So you can find out more on my website about that. There's a demo and so forth. Also, I have a new movie on a movie CD, which is The Practical Side of Crop Circles. And it's a slide presentation lecture that I have done numerous times, and I've now put that on video for you. And that works on any DVD player. So those are my announcements, and in case you didn't know, I am the author of the Crop Circle Cards, The Living Oracle, and I have numerous events coming up. I have a tour this summer to England, Ireland, and Scotland, and I do that every summer, so if you want to join me for that mystical tour, just let me know. And also, now we're going to go to the phone numbers. I like to announce those in the very beginning of the show. So you can call in, and after a little while of listening, I would like you to first listen for about 15 minutes so that you get to know my guest. And if you have any questions, there is the U.S. toll-free is 877-876-5227. That's 877 876-5227. And for the Canada, the toll-free, that's 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. And for international direct, that's 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Okay, so let me introduce my special guest here. I've been looking forward to this the whole month. Christopher, I only do one show a month, so I really do focus on the shows. Our guest is Dr. Christopher Holmes, and he is a clinical and forensic psychologist who has worked as a professor at York University in Toronto, and for several years in the Ontario correctional system. And he dedicates himself full-time to now his Institute for Mystical and Spiritual Science, which is Zero Point. I love that name, Christopher.
Yeah.
And he has investigated the enigmas of human consciousness, the mysteries of the heart, paranormal and psychic phenomena, and the dynamics of creation for over 30 years. So, Christopher, I know you also have your own radio show. Why don't you first tell us when that is and how people can tune into what you're doing on your website as well.
Okay, thanks, Caria. My radio show is every second Saturday, 4 to 6 o'clock Eastern on BBS Radio. And my website is at www.zeropoint.ca.
Okay, C-A, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're here today to discuss the heart, and I love that subject right off the bat. I mean, because my institute is called HeartLink.
I know, I like that a lot.
And also the subject of Kabbalah. And I am so excited about this subject. Of course, I am a neophyte when it comes to information about that. I'm just studying it myself and doing my best. You know, I teach different metaphysical classes, and I find that I love to teach things that I want to learn more about. So I am teaching about that information. So I'm expecting to get some real good pointers from you today about consciousness and metaphysics and the heart. So why don't you go ahead and give us a little bit of your expertise and background, and just go right ahead and tell us about yourself.
Okay. Well, as you said, mentioned, I'm a clinical and forensic psychologist, but my lifelong interest has been in the origins and nature of human consciousness. Particularly when I wanted to become a psychologist, I was interested in clinical psychology. And almost all the therapists talked about making the unconscious conscious, like some development of consciousness is essential to psychotherapy. So I became interested in the idea that there isn't simply the conscious and unconscious, but then is there a higher state of self-consciousness, and then what might be beyond that in terms of objective consciousness or God consciousness. So I became interested in higher dimensions of human consciousness. And so that's been my main focus over the last 30 years has been consciousness studies. And my main book on that, well, it's actually from a series called Within Without from Zero Points, and I won't talk about zero points at the moment, but book one of that series is called The Heart Doctrine. And in that, what I firstly provide is a radical critique of modern Western psychology and science, which I say is fundamentally mistaken and flawed in assuming that the material brain in the head produces consciousness. And I call that the head doctrine. Okay, which makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, the brain in the head produces consciousness. And that is the mainstay of modern psychology for the last century, going back to when the idea of the spirit and soul was dismissed. And then at a certain point in my life, I realized that all the esoteric, the spiritual, and mystical traditions all say the true nature of self is connected to the heart, not to the mind in the head. And self-realization is actually defined by one yogi as the dissolution of the false mind into the lotus of the heart. That is self-realization, then, is awakening to the self within the heart.
Well, I happen to agree with that. It's hard to get out of the head, though, and I'm hoping that you can give us some pointers on how to do that. I assume that you're using the Kabbalistic tradition to help you do this.
Well, the studies of consciousness and the heart, I draw there from Vedic yogic teachings, Kabbalah and Judaism, the secret doctrine of Madame Blavatsky. That heart teaching, it's in Sufism, it's in the Tibetan Buddhism of the Dalai Lama. Mm-hmm. It's in all, the heart doctrine is in all these esoteric teachings. That's the true nature of self is connected to the awakening of the heart. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, I am the self seated in the hearts of all beings.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that the heart is regarded as a sacred space, a sacred temple, a divine temple, and within the heart is said to be both the Paramatma, meaning like the Supreme Lord, and also the jiva atma, meaning the individual self. And at that, the individual self is described as infinitesimal. So it's like you have a God spark within the lotus of the heart,
mm-hmm.
a divine principle. But Shirley MacLaine used the word God spark in going within, and I love that expression, a God spark. In Kabbalah, it's called a divine spark. So in all the mystical traditions, we have this higher dimensional nature connected to the mysteries of the heart. And the heart in Kabbalah, see, within the heart, the space of the heart represents the divine mother, Bana. And the point source of light within the heart represents the divine father. So within the heart, it's like you have a point source of light within the spaces of the divine mother. And it's the conjunction of that point of light within higher dimensional space that produces human consciousness.
And so you're saying this point, and I know, and you talk about zero point. Is that what you mean when you say this point?
Yes. I was also describing, I'm saying that the jiva atma, the individual self, is like a point source. You know the concept in modern science, they now believe our huge universe evolved from a singularity point 10 to the minus 33 centimeters. Okay, a billion billionth the diameter of a proton. Okay, so the scientists believe our huge universe emerged from a point source. Well, I'm suggesting a human being similarly has a singularity point source of consciousness within the higher dimensions of the heart, and that we grow within without from zero points. And as we approach death, consciousness withdraws back into the heart and the soul leaves the body. So, see, I'm not only saying that consciousness is in the heart. See, consciousness in the body is connected to the blood. So, for instance, if I put my attention into my feet, I can warm my feet up about 6 to 10 degrees in about 15 to 20 seconds just by being conscious in my feet. Because when I'm conscious in my feet, the blood flows there.
Mm-hmm.
Blood flows where your consciousness is. So if a person eats a big meal and you eat too much and you feel stuffed and it feels like your consciousness is in your stomach, I would say it is in your stomach. You see? Or if you use your mind a lot, all the blood flow is to the cerebral cortex. If you're sexually aroused, the blood flows to the genitals. See, how your blood flows in your body depends on what you're doing and how you're conscious. So I connect consciousness to blood flow and to the breathing. In Kabbalah, there are five levels to the soul. Each of those is connected to a different level of the breath. Okay, it's in the book of Genesis. God breathes into man a living soul. Your soul life is connected to your breath.
Tell us what those levels are specifically. Five levels?
Well, I've only experienced the lower three of those, so let's
well,
begin
give
with
an idea
that.
Of what you mean by that.
I would say the lowest level of your soul life, if you want to experience, you have to go into a state of deep relaxation, connecting with your breath, and feeling that sense of peace, apathos, all understanding. The lowest level of the soul life, it's like you have to still the mind and the turning of emotions and other, and just be present in your body and integrated with your breath life. And the lowest level of the soul life is this very peaceful level within your body that you can experience.
Okay.
The next level of that is a more dynamic, active breath. It's like you individuate, and it's like your spirit soul. It's more dynamic breath, but it's still your individual breath. And then the third level is where your breath kind of yields to this. It's almost like you're breathed by something greater than yourself. It's like the divine breath within you. So the idea is that there's these levels of breath life connected to the soul life.
I see. And then beyond that, we can't, we don't even want to go there yet.
Why? I even write about it in my book, but I haven't experienced it, so
quite,
it's something I don't feel like to talk from directly, personally.
Well, you know, you bring up this wonderful quote that I'd like to just throw in here, because I think it really is important. It comes from one of the greatest avatars who told the throngs of people present at his Sermon on the Mount to turn to the light of the sun that dwells within you. Come to the fountain of your own light, and then, and only then, will you know the peace that passeth all understanding.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, you know, you were mentioning that, and certainly would fit that he, that the you know, the Christ consciousness would be able to explain all of this as well.
Yeah, it would be a different approach. Like in your quote, it mentions the sun of the body. See, in mystical teachings, the jiva atma, or the self within the heart, is regarded as the sun in the body, and the mind in the head is regarded as the moon, because the moon in the outer world has no light of its own. It only reflects the light of the self.
So the moon is the mind.
Yeah.
And the sun is the self in the body.
In the heart.
In the heart, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. So the light within ourselves, the higher light, the God light, is within the heart. And if we awaken it in the heart, then that light can illuminate your mind so that you can experience higher faculties of the mind.
Well, is the experience, I mean, I assume that you're speaking about love. I mean, when you speak of the heart, is that what you're saying? That you're filled with love?
Well, I mean, it's not only love. Sometimes it's love initially in terms of, as a person works towards awakening, you have to go through a period of remorse of conscience. It's like as a person wakes up and becomes more conscious, you experience remorse for the things you see you've done in life and how you've not fulfilled whatever.
So these are initiation processes.
An initiation process, is going through that remorse of conscience. Gurdjieff stresses that. We need to experience remorse of conscience, and that's the fire that burns away the residues of past events and happenings. And then we want to awaken in the heart. But, I mean, sometimes it's, yes, it's experiences of love, compassion, and it's like an impersonal love, an impersonal compassion. I've had times where I go around and you just feel inwardly blissful, and it feels like love is everywhere, and you feel in love with everyone in a certain sense.
Mm-hmm.
Other times in terms of the heart, sometimes when I look at, so see what's happening in the world, sometimes it's like you can take on the problems of humanity, and it can give you weigh upon you, and you have a heavy heart. Gurdjieff talks about bearing the sorrow of our endlessness. And I've experienced that more lately, as just realizing the horror of the situation of humankind. And in a way, it's like my heart is expanded, that I feel for these people in Iraq and Iran and other places. And it's like we bear their suffering, we bear their pain. It's like your heart is open to humankind.
Well, and I appreciate what you're saying. I mean, it really is a heavy weight, isn't it? If we should choose to go there, but aren't we also to explore these higher dimensions that you talk about? I mean, isn't that the whole purpose of learning about the heart and how it operates, so that we learn from a higher vision and perceive the world in a very different way?
Well, certainly that happens with the awakening of the heart. Like, see, sometimes some people, you could, for instance, meditate on your brow chakra and open your third eye.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you could do that, and you could have mystic visions and see into the psychical realms. Okay, now you could do that bypassing the heart and not being established in the heart. You could open the third eye.
Mm-hmm.
Blavatsky calls that the eye doctrine. like the belief that your higher self is connected to your third eye and you want to open your third eye. For Blavatsky.
Are we saying I as in E-Y-E?
Well, there I.
Or are we saying I?
Well, there I would say it's E-Y-E. Like your third eye, your brow chakra can be opened and you can see into the subtle dimensions and extend your mind through the brow chakra into things.
Mm-hmm.
But really, higher states of consciousness, in a way you want to be established within the heart before you open higher centers, or else you might lose your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get so lost into the psychical realm that you're not established in yourself, in your heart. So, in yoga, it said there's five states of samadhi. But the first state of samadhi is the awakening of the heart. And then the higher levels of samadhi build upon the awakening of the heart.
I see. So you're coming from all these Eastern philosophies, I am hearing. But can we now look at how it is used in the Tree of Life symbol of the Kabbalah?
Yeah, great.
How does that fit in with this?
Okay, Kabbalah is such a deep teaching, and I particularly know two aspects of it. Firstly, I'm interested in creation physics, like the creation of the universe and how ancient mystical teachings about creation relate to modern physics. And in Kabbalah, before creation happens, you have three realms of what are called negative existence. And they're called Ein Sof Hour. And that means nothingness, firstly. Ein is nothing, unspeakable. You can't. And then Ein Sof means the plenum. Ein Sof contains all possible forms of life, all forces of nature, all particles. It's the plenum which contains everything. And then Ein Sof Hour is the limitless light that fills the boundless all. So in Kabbalah, before creation happens, you have these three realms of negative existence. And then what is said to happen before God creates the world is what's called the Zimzum, which means the self-contraction. Now, if you imagine God as an infinite being pervading all space, well, that infinite being withdraws himself or itself from a volume of space to create an empty space. Because if the infinite being fills all space, then you can't have a finite life, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So the infinite being undergoes the Zimzum contraction and withdraws the infinite light and leaves a point of vacated space.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then in Kabbalah, there's a line of divine light that penetrates into the void. And Kabbalah also depicts the creation of the universe from a zero point, the first point of light that emerges in Keter, like the top sphere on the Tree of Life, is depicted as a point source of light within Keter. And then that line of light moves down the Tree of Life, generating different world orders. And it's through a process of, in physics, it's called sequential symmetry breaking. Like, the Tree of Life is based on 10 spheres, or sephira. Now, that 10 is broken down into two parts, in a way. Firstly, you have the supernal triad, the three higher realms. Okay, those are, if you imagine, I have my hands together like a triangle. The first three spheres on the Tree of Life are like a triangle turned upwards. Okay. Then the next three spheres on the Tree of Life, if you take that triangle turned upwards and you flip it down and turn it so it's pointing downwards, those are the next three sephira. And then if you drop that triangle down another level, you have another three sephira. And then the final element in the Tree of Life, the tenth sephira, is called the kingdom. And that is what's created by all the sephira above it. So the basic pattern of the Tree of Life, in a way, what you have is an upward turn triangle and then two downward turn triangles underneath it. And then at the bottom, you have the final product, the kingdom. So the idea is that, see, in a way, we live in all of these dimensions. The first world, the higher, the three supernals are called, that's the divine realm. The next world is the spiritual world. Then you have the world of ensoulment. And then you have the material world. So in Kabbalah, really, there are four world orders. One, and each evolves from the one preceding it.
So that you just explained multidimensionality then.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, I would say within your heart, firstly, you have a divine source emanation, a God spark. That's a divine source emanation in the divine world. Then you have a spiritual self where that divine spark comes down and it informs your spiritual essence in the spiritual world. Okay, and there's seven levels to that world. And then that comes down and you have a soul. The soul is what connects the spiritual world to the material world. That's why in Christianity you say body, soul, and spirit. So I would say you have body, soul, spirit, and then the divine element. So I would say
you just distinguished between spirit and soul.
Yes.
So there really is a different... One is in the material world and the other is not. Is that right?
Well, I would say they're all material, but it's a materiality of a different substance. I would say they're all material. Even the divine source emanation is material, but not physically material. It's a divine source emanation. So it's material, but divine material instead of material matter.
Okay.
So I would say, for instance, in the heart, I'd say you have a physical heart, a psychical heart, a spiritual heart, and then ultimately a divine heart center.
Uh-huh.
So we have these four levels to the material heart, or to the heart.
Mm-hmm. And so is the Tree of Life explaining multidimensionality? Or?
Yes, it is. It's so subtle and complex. But one thing I've learned that I find most useful from esoteric studies is this principle, that in order to understand creation, the one becomes three and then seven. Similar to, if you take white light divided by a three-sided prism, and it gives you a spectrum of seven colors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I say that pattern of creation, 1, 3, 7, is manifested in all the phenomena of nature. Okay, so you take the material world around you, okay? Material world is composed of protons, electrons, and neutrons, three elements. And the periodic table has seven rows of elements. So the material world is composed of three elements in seven rows of elements. You see, so, or you take white light, divided by a prism.
There is a level at which the proton is of a higher divine level than the electron, I guess, is my question.
All of them have a higher level. It's hard to really go into explaining a lot of it because you have to get into holographic physics to really understand it. But
well, we don't want to totally lose the audience.
No.
And of course, I am very layman at this point. I'm trying to really understand. You're so profound. I think I do understand at least the four different levels or worlds on the Tree of Life.
Yeah.
And they're each divided into seven more dimensions, in other words.
Yeah, if you take the supernal triad, okay, and the first one is Keter at the top, and then you come down on the right, it's called Chokhmah, the Divine Father, and then you go over to the left, it's Bina, the Divine Mother. Okay, so those represent the three supernals. Now, it is said in Kabbalah that the Divine Mother, Bina, has the seven lower spheres within herself, so that when creation happens, creation is of seven dimensions, and each of those is sevenfold. So that sevenfoldness is inherent within the Divine Mother, Bina.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the three above, in a way, are separate from the seven below. Now,
Are you saying that CHOKMA also has seven dimensions or not?
Each Sephira might be a whole other tree if you broke it down further.
Mm-hmm. And there are qualities to each of these that, express aspects of ourselves
yes.
that I understand.
Yeah.
But now I am.
You know what CHOKMA is? Wisdom, and BANA is understanding.
Right.
And both of those are said to be within the human heart. Like, if you look at the tree of life, you see Keter is the top sphere on the central pillar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Kabbalah, when the three supernals together create the sun, like the individual self, and that sun comes down the central pillar from Keter into Kephirah, which is the central sphere in the world below. And that Tiferet represents your heart. So the idea is that these three supernal realms come down into the human heart. That's why in the Bible it's like wisdom and understanding are both within the heart.
But the supernals have to go through the region, which is, can you explain that?
Sorry, they have to go through?
The middle hidden sphere.
Dot. Yeah, see, the three supernals manifest as dot, but then if you come down the central pillar, dot comes down into Tiferet, which is associated with the sun and with the heart. And so I say that, like, the self comes down into within the heart. In Kabbalah, it is said that the word of God is written within the human heart, that it is within your heart that you can experience God.
Would it help to think of Dot as maybe the thymus gland coming down into Tepharus, the heart?
I wouldn't relate it to that. It's more that although the Tree of Life shows it like above and below, really everything is really from within without. So it's really things are coming from within without through the heart.
Well, when we speak of the heart, though, there is the higher, at least in the Eastern tradition, the higher heart, and I'm talking about chakras now, and I'm assuming that there is a correspondence in terms of the Sephiroth, in terms of chakras. Am I wrong about that?
No, that's right. Like, in the system of chakras, okay, you have seven chakras. The heart is the central one.
Well,
okay.
We have the hidden thymus gland being the higher heart, is my point.
Oh, well, I think it might quite possibly be related to the higher dimensional aspect of the heart.
I was going to say,
yeah.
Glands often are what lead us through to the higher dimensions anyway,
yeah.
So that would make sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah, there are seven major endocrine glands, and they're usually associated with the different chakras,
mm-hmm.
and the thymus is connected to the heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, in terms
of
physiology.
Thinking, well, you know, I know the way you're describing it is dot is what the supernals come through dot first and then trickle down to or through or within the heart. But it must go through this region called dot. Can you explain what that region represents, I guess, is my question.
Okay, well, dot is spelled D-A. Apostrophe A-T is often referred to as the 11th invisible sephira. And dot is below the three supernals, but it's above the seven spheres below.
I mean, it's right in between. It seems like it's the zero point is my
it
point.
It is. That's right. It's
oh, okay.
The portal. It's the portal
that's
by which these
yeah.
higher dimensional influences, they manifest. Dot, you would represent as a point within the circle. That is the sun, that spiritual spark. But then in the material body, it comes down through the heart, into the heart.
Right. I appreciate that. I mean, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Also in Kabbalah, it's very interesting that, like, see, in modern times, there's no psychology of the heart. In modern times, like, the scientists all think that we experience emotions up in the limbic system. But how many people go home and say, sweetheart, I love you with all my head? Like, you just would never do that. Like, people intuitively connect consciousness, love and feeling and emotions to the heart. Okay. Now, in Kabbalah, it is said within the heart, how I was explaining the Zimzum, that there's this empty void created before God creates the universe. Well, each human being has an empty space within the heart, that there's an emptiness within the heart.
Do we want to create more of an emptiness? Is that what you're saying? In order to allow for this to expand our consciousness?
Well, I wasn't going to say that, but that's exactly right. Like, see, if your heart is tied up with everything in your life and you have so many passions and desires and your heart is all taken up with material things, then your heart is full. So in a way, in the mystical path, you want to empty the heart. And the more you can empty the heart, the more you get back to the original emptiness of the heart and then be illumined in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to empty our heart. It's like everybody in life, you know, we have all these things that our hearts are tied up with. But if we overcome our attachments and identification and cultivate being aware and the emptiness of the heart, and then at some point, as the heart is empty, then we can be illumined in the heart.
Well, and certainly as a therapist, that's certainly what I work with people too. I don't quite say it that way, but I certainly do help them to release whatever the trauma or wherever they're stuck in their emotional body.
Yes, exactly. And all these emotional traumas form what I would call knots about the heart, that the heart's natural energies become all knotted up.
Mm-hmm.
And a person can lose heart, and you can get your heart hardened heart. Like, I worked in prisons for 12 years, and a lot with criminal offenders and learning anger management and so on. And I would meet people, I could never do the things they would do. It's like they're heartless. But in a way, what's happened, they still have a heart, but they don't feel in their heart anymore. They're mainly, their consciousness is mainly in their egoic mind, and they're very self-centered, and they've lost heart. They don't have feeling for other people anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so in my approach with offenders, I developed a way of awakening of consciousness and the heart in criminal offenders. Because the idea is to get back to your original heart feeling. And it, unless you do that, that changes your life. If you can deal with those traumas and hurts of the heart and restore the natural heart feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's said also, like in yogic literature, within the heart is said to be what's called the bliss sheath. And it's about the size of a small grape. It's in towards the center of the heart. It is a mass of unemergent light. So there's actually said to be a physics to this. So if your consciousness, if you live more and more in the heart and awaken to the bliss sheath, it's like your life, you feel filled with bliss. There's this kind of inner blissfulness just in being. So in a way, we want to learn to live, to awaken to the bliss sheath and then experience that inner blissfulness within ourselves. And that can become a permanent state. Or you can have experiences of it and then lose it. But it can become a permanent state.
Excellent. Before we have a few minutes here, I just wanted to let you talk about the wonderful book that you've just come out, or you're going to come out with, God, Science, and Secret Doctrine. Is that a new one? Or?
Yeah, this is a new book. It's based on an analysis of Madame Blavatsky's The Secret Doctrine, which was published in 1888. And what the book is about is showing how similar her ideas about metaphysics are to modern ideas in physics.
Well, she was the first one that even mentioned zero point, wasn't she?
Yes, she was. That's where I took zero point from. That's why I called the Zero Point Institute for Mystical and Spiritual Science. But this was, imagine, this was 100 years ago, Blavatsky, in the beginning of The Secret Doctrine. The book begins, she says, she describes a circle with a point in its center. And she says that represents the dawn of the emergence of the cosmos. It's a point within a circle. And she describes how the point, this is 100 years ago, she describes the universe, she said, begins from an infinitesimally small point. She calls it the zero point. And it grows within without from a point source. Now, this same idea is in Kabbalah. It's been in Kabbalah for 500-600 years. The idea that the universe begins from a point of supernal light. So, but anyway, this book, it's explaining Blavatsky's teaching, and it all goes into the idea that how we live in seven-dimensional hyperspace, and it's a very complex book.
Mm-hmm.
It's all consistent with Kabbalah. Like, if you know Blavatsky's Secret Doctrine, it helps give you keys to understand Kabbalah.
So she speaks obviously multidimensionality and how the universe is created as well using this hyperdimensional physics. Is that right?
Yeah. See, in all what I was saying before, in mystical teachings, the idea of the one, the three, and the seven, you find that in all different teachings. It's in the tree of life. Like, firstly, the tree of life is a one as a whole. And then there's the supernal three and the seven below. In Christianity, you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And creation is in 6 days, and God rests on the seventh. Well, really, that's a mystery teaching that's giving us a clue as to the structure of the universe.
Seventh heaven.
Yeah, seven. There are said to be seven heavens, seven levels to the astral world, seven levels to the physical world. In Tibetan Buddhism, the Dalai Lama says there are 49 planes of existence, seven times seven. That's why the perfect, if you want a mathematical model of the universe, sit at a piano keyboard of seven octaves of notes with a 50th note. That's a model of the structure of the universe according to esoteric teachings.
Wow.
It's a piano keyboard, seven octaves of seven notes. And it's also, there's more in the piano keyboard because you have what are called the missing semitones in the law of the octave, but a little too complex to go into. But that idea of that's why you have seven chakras, and the heart's the center one. You have three above and three below. And in the heart, see, if a person in their life, if their heart is conditioned downwards, and a person then is controlled by the three lower centers, and then we say a person pursues money, sex, and power. Those are the three lower motives, human motivations. Turn on the TV. What's it all about? Money, sex, and power. Money, sex, and power.
Three lower chakras, yeah.
And it's only when you get to awakening of the heart, that is the experience of self-realization. And that's kind of getting above the three lower chakras. And then you have the three higher chakras that can be opened that allow you to experience higher states and develop other cities or psychic powers.
So what is your definition of consciousness then?
Okay,
put you on the spot there.
Okay, it's such a complex subject, but firstly, see, consciousness is most like light. Okay, consciousness is light. And consciousness as light allows you to be aware of thinking, feeling, sensing, intuitions. See, consciousness is like light in the inner world that allows you to be aware of all these other things that go on in your different sensations, pains, thoughts, feelings, desires. See, consciousness is like light. And we can have more of that light or less of that light. We're interested in learning to live in the light. We want to be accumulating the inner light. The Christians talked about light gaining. We want to learn to live in the light. And the more we awaken in the heart, the more inwardly we're illumined by that light.
So you're not focusing consciousness in the brain or the mind. You're focusing it.
I would say you can be conscious throughout your body, and how your consciousness is distributed in your body depends on what you're doing. If you're using your mind, like if I sit down and read a book for an hour, the blood flows to my mind because I'm using my mind to read the book. And as I do that, my feet get cold. Okay, that happens. My feet get cold. Okay?
So consciousness
So because I've lost consciousness of my feet because the blood flows to my head. So I'm not saying the consciousness is only in the heart. See, what I'm saying is it emerges out of the higher dimensional physics of the heart, but then it's spread through the whole chakra system and then through the blood in your body. So consciousness can be distributed all through the body.
Well, isn't it interesting that the blood is affects us in so many ways, obviously. And certainly the immune system in people today, we're having epidemic problems with that. And it would make sense that we're going through quite a process of learning how to develop our bodies to help us in some fashion, along with our consciousness.
Yeah.
So that we don't look to the medicine community for our answers, because they're really, they don't give us answers. well, they do, obviously. But
yes, some, but they rely so much on you know, manufactured pharmaceuticals and avoid all the natural wisdom of the body. I mean, I believe that we could learn methods of self-healing and learn to regenerate ourselves.
I do, too.
Yeah.
And I think that we're being forced to do that, quite frankly.
Yes, I agree.
And so you believe now, what's your experience? I guess I want to ask you, have you really had any literal contact with other worlds?
I've had very kinds of mystical experiences, yes. You know, I've had periods in my life of being illuminated, of feeling, experiencing that hard expansion. States where I go around, it's like you're in this bliss consciousness and you feel so inwardly illumined and light, and it's like your consciousness expands, so it's not limited to your body, but it's like your consciousness interpenetrates a whole volume of space around you.
So was that like paradise? Are you able to experience that or not?
Paradise?
Yeah.
Well, some of these experiences have been of bliss. You know, I've had other experiences like of awakening my third eye and kind of seeing into the psychical realms, and at times that can be a horrifying aspect to that, mm-hmm. if you could see what was really happening in the world.
Mm-hmm. The astral level, you mean?
Or in my mind, it's like I had a certain, like these aren't constant abilities, but I had a period last fall for a few months where I opened my higher centers, and I mean, I if I tried to read the Bible at a certain point, it just shifted on me and it illumined me, and this kind of illumination, no matter what I would turn my attention to. I turned my attention to something, my mind went there, and that knowledge would be available to me. It's hard to explain.
No, it sounds fascinating.
It's like you can cast your mind into anything, and that knowledge
comes.
You can
create anything, is what it sounds like.
I wouldn't say create, but I think creation is... I don't focus on that as much, actually. But I think creation, like, it's not just your thoughts. Like, it's not just your thoughts that create your reality. You need the thought, but the heart is what empowers it. So it's not just your thoughts and your intentions that create your reality, but it has to correspond to what is within the heart. Because the heart gives that energy and empowers that intention.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Really, the emotional backing that requires for creation to occur.
Yeah, just like in God's creation physics, it's like the heart, there's both, it's chakma and bana, the kind of combination. It's the mind is chakma and the heart is bana. It's the combination of the mind and the heart that
mm-hmm.
create our reality.
Mm-hmm. And it's that wonderful balance that occurs in this dimension. dimension that we must go through and deal with the polarities and bring it to the middle.
Well, that's exactly right. See, how what you just described, see, another thing about the tree of life, the central column, there are four spheres on the central column. Each of those spheres depicts one of four levels of consciousness you might experience.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, in Kabbalah, we want to rise up through the middle pillar. And the way you do that is through resolving and balancing the opposing forces on the side. And if you can synthesize those forces, then you rise through the central pillar.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so the whole thing is like, as you say, it's like balancing these different energies within ourselves.
So is there hope? Are we going, what's your sense, what's the fate of the universe at this point?
Well,
I hate to put, again, I'm,
well, no,
I'm
just,
joking with you. I don't expect you to give me all the answers.
According to my studies, generally, I would say the universe, in the beginning, there is nothing. The earth is empty and void, and darkness is upon the face of the deep. And then creation begins from a point, source, point of supernal light. It grows within, without, like the budding of a lotus. Eventually, it contracts, without, within, back to a point, source, back into the nothingness.
So it's collapsing into itself, you mean?
Yeah. At the end of time.
It is an expansion and then a contraction.
Yeah. Like scientists today, they don't think our universe is going to contract because they don't think there's enough matter in the universe to bring about universal contraction. But all the mystical teachings suggest that at a certain point, the breath of the father passes over to the breath of the mother, and the mother ingathers the universe to her bosom. It's like the divine mother at the end of time ingathers all the universe to her heart.
Well, with that said, I think we'll leave on that note. That was beautiful. Thank you, Dr. Holmes. You really got me thinking there and feeling too, obviously. I'm going to end our program with a quick meditation, a very short one.
Nice.
To balance out this, you know, esoteric information here and bring us back into our bodies so that we can relax. And I'm going to ask everyone to just find a comfortable position. And this is a heart chakra meditation, so sit right in. And relax your mind, let go of all the chatter and the thoughts of today, for now. Just for now, and allowing the pure heart energies, allowing for you to just get in touch with that heart chakra. And listen. You might even see energies around your heart, entering your heart, and watch as the energies spin through your heart chakra, clearing and cleansing your emotional and physical heart, and the higher heart, the thymus gland. And see a sphere appear, a golden sphere now. Becomes a bright light that enters your heart chakra. Allow it to remain there for a moment and guide you as you listen to the pulse of your physical heartbeat. Feel the warm, loving energy radiating throughout your entire being. And in your mind, you hear the pattern of the heartbeat. It is calm and even in rhythm. And you slowly move into a higher frequency, leaving the challenges of the physical world behind. Relax. Be at peace. And your heart is open and ready to accept the love of yourself and those around you. And come on back and share that love with others in your life. And come all the way back into your body, feeling a wonderful healing vibration. And that's about all we have time for today. And I want to thank everybody for listening to Carrie Ell's HeartLink. And tune in to my website, www.heartlinkinstitute.com. And see you next month on July 25th, the last Wednesday of the month. Bye-bye. Thank you, Christopher, so much for your help.
Thank you.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.